So I'm going to go ahead. We are going to be doing a series now on the creeds. We're going to be specifically looking at three different creeds, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and also the Athanasian Creed. I have some handouts here. Who does not have one? Because I have extras. So this is a family Sunday, which means the kids are stuck here the entire time. If you would like to be a Sunday school teacher, this is a good reminder of why. No, it's important. We really want to make sure that our kids feel like they are part of our church. And so multi-generational services are also a really good thing for us and the kids. So what else? So I have lots and lots of things to hand out. So I have to make sure that I... So kids, are you guys paying attention? Because I had my sermon completely done on Friday. I mean, I was rocking. Okay, I shouldn't say completely done because that'd be an exaggeration, but I was rocking. Normally, Sunday mornings in our house, like Sarah was so nice to say, Sunday mornings can sometimes be a little stressful. Our house, it's like, shut up! I'm getting my sermon done. I got to preach about the love of Jesus, you know? And so it was really good. I was like, yes, I'm done. I've got it nearly completed. And then Sarah and I got to talking, and I was like, I really can't go for this marathon sermon that I wanted to do because it's Family Sunday. So I had to regroup back in. I had this wonderful activity for the kids. It was going to be so much fun. And then I decided to rework it a little bit. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll just do it ahead. So I came to the church building yesterday, and I started doing my activity, and it just completely fell apart. So I'm so glad I did it yesterday and not now, because that would have been really embarrassing and it would have missed the message as well. So anyhow, we are going to be looking at some of this stuff. I encourage you to keep this handout if you can put it. I try to make it so it fit into your Bible. We're going to be looking at the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. As I joked last week, I did not put the Athanasian Creed on. They say, you know you're reading the Athanasian Creed when you've been going for 15 minutes. The Athanasian Creed is really, really long. So I didn't have space to fit it on here. And this little picture is a picture of the Council of Nicaea. That's actually Emperor Constantine in the very middle there. It's just a nice old picture that I stick on there. So if that's any else. Oh, and then on the very bottom, but we'll touch on that in the sermon. So I'm going to do a little bit of a review. I'm like, it's got to work. It's not clicking. All right, what's going on? All right, so this is a quote from A.W. Tozer. He wrote that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. If you know what a man believes in his heart, you will be able to predict with certainty the spiritual future of that man. If we get it wrong about God, it doesn't matter what else we get right. Our concept of who God is so essential. And the creeds help us in that area, because if you believe in an all-powerful, all-loving God, you're going to come to him in a different way. If you believe in a distant God who may or may not care about you, you're going to pray to him in a different way. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Does anybody know what this is a picture of? Stars, very good. Has anybody ever seen this picture before? Sometimes if you look up, you'll see this picture of these stars. Go. How do you think they're able to get that picture of those stars like that, Luke? Very good. Have you noticed anything about this picture, though? Because, Very good, Kenny Marencik. There is a star called the Northern Star. It sits right above the North Pole, more or less, and it does not move in relation. And so you can take a time-lapse photography and all the other stars and all the other constellations are moving, but the North Star is always there. And so they've used it for centuries to navigate by. Because whenever how many times do you tell your kids? You get lost, look for the Big Dipper, go up, and there you'll see the big bright star. It's called Sirius, the big dog star. It's really bright, and that's the Northern Star. And it just shines down, and with that, you can know where you are in relation to north, south, east. You know, you get that idea of where north is. Scripture, James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow or turning. And so it's really important that we realize that we serve a God that does not change. He's never changed. He never will change. He talks about being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There's no variation in his thoughts. He is who he is. And he will be that way forever. And that's really important for us, because sometimes when we do bad things, we think God's going to change. Or we think of, we can just do this or do that, that somehow God's going to stop loving us. Or maybe God's not going to be so faithful. Or maybe this time around, God's going to bend the rules. God is God, and he doesn't change. And so it's important for us, because we can base our life, we can navigate our life. Kids, everybody hear me? You can navigate your life based on God. But we have to know God. We have to know him, and we have to know about him. Because like I said last Sunday, I want everybody right now to think of a tree. Okay? Has anybody ever thought of a mango tree in this room? But a mango tree is a tree. See, there you go. There's what I knew I could count on you. A mango tree is a tree. So if I say the word God, you know, we all think of the God that we kind of know, but is it the same God that we're actually talking about in the Bible? We talk about trees, and there's many different kinds of trees. And in the world today, there are many gods, many, many gods. And there are many people who say they follow a Christian God, but the Christian God is still not the God of this Bible. And as we're going to see in the study, that we believe there is only one God, we believe that this God has revealed himself to man, and that he's actually explained who he is and what he's like. And so when we miss that, it's not just that, oh, it's not just a fuzzy gray area. If I told somebody, hey, I'll meet you at 10 o'clock at the mango tree, or at the tree, and I'm thinking mango tree, and he's thinking pine tree, you know what? We're going to be in two different countries. And if I say, hey, oh, you believe in God? That's awesome. I believe in God too. Which God? Is his name Allah? Is his name Hare Krishna? Is his name Jehovah? Is his name, and you can name them off. And if you don't aren't talking about the same God, you're really not talking the same language. So we know that we can always base our life on God, because he never changes. Now, one of my jobs in up here is, and I was joking, this is from Ephesians 4:11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head. So there are winds, there are waves, there are beliefs, there are thoughts out there that just try to make you miss. Kenny Agel spoke 2 weeks ago, and he talked about the rule of 1 and 6. Is that what it was? And if we're off by maybe an inch here, you're going to be off by 6 inches down the road. So, you know, okay, your God's like this. Well, my God's like this. Well, if you draw that line down the road, you're going to be so far apart. It's really important of what we believe. And so, you know, last Sunday I was trying to explain this picture, is that it wasn't working terribly well, was it? But a lot of people, this is like that basic Swiss Army knife that people can get, right? And that's really cool. I would rather everybody have a knife like this in your theological basket. I mean, you have everything you could need, every doctrine, you got all that stuff. But I'm going to be realistic here, because I know that's not possible. I'd really be happy if everybody walked out the door with a knife like this. You don't have to have this wimpy knife, and you don't have to have this massive knife, but just this basic knife that can handle the main things that you're going to come up against in life. Because when you're talking to people, and Scripture says, always be ready in season and out of season to give the reason for your hope. So when people see you, and you've got a smile on your face, or you've got a bounce in your step, or you've got a confidence and an assurance, and you're praying with a faith that says, I believe that there's someone listening to me. More than that, I believe not only is there someone listening to me, I believe there's someone who wants to listen to me. And all of a sudden somebody hears you pray like that, and they say to you, Chris, how do you pray like that? I want you to be able to say, well, let me tell you, Matt. Boom, let me show you. Well, I believe in God. Really? And go into this discussion. Because you know what the gospel's called? Good news. You know, and that's why when we see Christians so often, and you see these dour Christians, and you know, and they sing their hymnals, and they're kind of like this. It's like, where's the good news? We as Christians, we should be attractive. We should be something about us that says, I want to talk to this person. I want to know what's going on in their life, because it's good news. But we have to be equipped to be there. Because God wants us to be to the full stature of Jesus Christ. But there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of things out there that are trying to trick you. So the creeds have been around. The Apostles' Creed's been around since like 180, nearly 2,000 years, about 1,900 years. The Nicene Creed was written in 325. The Athanasian Creed was written in 470. They have been around for a very long time for two very purposes. Does anybody know why? What are those white lines on the road there for? Yeah, boundaries keep us so we stay. And so the creeds help us so that we know where we are doctrinally. They kind of keep us on the road. And they give us tools so that we can recognize heresies and lies and deceptions. And so, you know, it's funny because as I was telling to people, I started preparing this as like 3 weeks ago. I started preparing the idea of doing a series on creeds, and I started doing research. And I have found multiple churches around the United States that are starting to do sermon series on the creeds since like last July. When one after another of good, solid churches who are like, oh, wow, I'd love to go to that body. And I'm like, wow. And I have a feeling that God is really wanting to equip the people of God so we know what is doctrinally pure. It's important. And it doesn't have to be dry because sometimes it can get boring. So two of the creeds that we're going to look at, the Nicene Creed and the Athanasian Creed, and this is going to take weeks, everybody, were because of a strong counterfeit teaching that was deceiving many of them. So kids, okay, here we go. Is everybody paying attention? Can you tell which one is not like the other? Emma, I'm going to give you first go on this because you're like one of my older teenagers. Which one is not like the others? The yellow one, very good. Did everybody catch that? Okay, got to look carefully now. Which one is not like the others here? Can you spot it? Okay, which kid? Who can see the one that's not like the others? Daisy's got it, and Ava's got it. I gave her Roger one chance. Ava? The one in the middle. That's right. We're not done yet. Okay, which one is not like the others? Luke? Yeah, okay. This one right here. It's really a funny slide. Day number 37. They still haven't realized I'm a space mirror space cat because it's meerkats and because they still haven't realized I'm a mirror cat. It's really pretty funny. I still do not suspect. Yeah, I laughed out loud at that one. So we have to be able to discern and determine which is and which is not right doctrine. These are important things. The other thing that creeds do, creeds tie us down to tradition 2,000 years back. I mean, we sometimes, as modern American Christians, we think that the church began in 1960, maybe 1940. No, the church began at AD 34, AD 33, when Jesus died, and he said, go forth into all the nations. The church began. And it's just kept on going and going and going, and some of our history is amazing. Some of our history is shameful, you know, but that's our history. And so when we read about this, we need to be very careful that we don't just somehow like, well, that was, this is our family tree. And we should be open and honest and saying, wow, this branch, well, they were the black sheep of the family. And this branch. And so there's parts of our history that are really important. But you need to know that for 2,000 years, the church has been wrestling with truth. Now, here's a lesson that everybody needs to keep in mind. There is nothing new under the sun. And Satan, he is a wily character. But you know what? He doesn't have any more tricks in his bag today than he did 2,000 years ago. It's got the same thing that he pulls out. He'll add a little ribbon to it, and he'll add a little flavor to it. But at the end of the day, adultery or sin of the heart, all these things are still the same thing. Lust, greed, you know, pride. It's the same thing. Satan doesn't have new tricks in his bag. He's got the same old ones. And so when we start talking down the road in a few weeks and we start looking at some of the heresies that these creeds are fighting, you're going to say, wait a second, they teach that today just down the street. Because guess what? Satan doesn't have any new tricks in his bag. So as we learn to recognize these things, we tie ourselves into a church tradition, and so we have stability, but we also get to learn from their mistakes and their lessons. The final thing I want to point up here is that creeds, some of you might have gone to Catholic churches or Episcopalian churches, and every Sunday you do the Apostles' Creed. So the Apostles' Creeds do not replace the Bible. They have no authority in and of themselves. They are not the Word of God. They're just men's concepts of what the Word of God is trying to get us. They correct error and help shape God's people. And finally, they're not an incantation that will save us or get us something from God. You know, like, if I just do the Hail Mary 15 times, she'll say yes when I ask her out to dinner. That just doesn't work. It's like, so, you know, these creeds are there to help us, and they're not something that you get just to cite because. So let's go ahead and read this. If you have it on your sheet, we're just going to read the Apostles' Creed this morning. I decided because it's Family Sunday, we're going to focus on the Apostles' Creed. It's the shorter one. It's the simpler one. And I kind of want to just get all the kids into this, and we're going to talk about it. And I've got a little activity in just a moment. Okay, so let's read it together. You can read it off the screen or you can read it off your sheet. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, Catholic Church there, just in case everybody, because we brought this up last Sunday, that's a small C Catholic Church. It's not a big C Catholic Church. Small C Catholic Church means the universal church. It means every person who confesses Jesus, whether they're in Africa, Peru, or the United States. And it also incorporates the people who lived 2,000 years ago, along with the people who are going to live tomorrow. It's this Catholic, the universal body of Christ. And so it's not the Roman Catholic Church. Now, we are going to divide this room into half, and this pillar, or Mom and Dad, I'm sorry, I'm going to divide the two of you up, okay? I know. Sorry, just for a minute. You're on this side? Yep, and yeah, you're kind of like right there in the middle. We're going to practice reading this once or twice, okay? Now, you got to pay attention, kids, okay? Because there is an activity that follows very shortly upon this, and everybody's going to break up into teams. And we're going to have to work on this, so you need to kind of get a feel for this, okay? So this side of the room is going to do the red, and this side of the room is going to do the black, okay? Now, it's not a yelling contest yet. We might get there. Jim, you're on this side of the room, just in case. Okay, so this side of the room is going to do the red. This side of the room is going to do black. We're going to start with the red. Red's going to do their part. Black, red. Get it? Clever, huh? All right, let's do this. All right. So do we need team captains? Okay, we got April on this team, and I think we should get Deb. All right. Okay. All right, so go ahead. Let's go ahead and start. Ready? I believe. Okay, that wasn't very loud, and some of the kids were really quiet. I mean, guys, no, you were not. Trust me. We're good enough friends now, Luke. No, you weren't. Yeah, all right, let's do it one more time, and then we're going to break up into some teams. Okay, so let's go. Let's switch it up, shall we? You're going to be red now, and you're going to be black. I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. So you're going to start. Go. bad. Yeah, we heard Luke this time. All right, now we're going to break up into teams. I know, Sarah, I'm putting you out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to talk to somebody who may or may not be related to you. This is scary. Okay, I am going to leave it to the congregation. The kids are going to be the principal ones. I have the Apostles' Creed here, line by line. There are 12 lines, if you've noticed. Tradition says that each line was made up by one of the apostles, which is not probably really true, but it's a nice little statement. But I have the creed here, and I'm going to want you guys to put it in the order it goes, and then we're going to put it up here. Okay, I know. So, the cookie idea melted. Well, the winners are going to get cookies. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. The winners, the children winners, get the only surviving star-shaped cookies that I tried to make yesterday. They're. Hey, now. These are the good ones. You would have. You were okay. I trust that, yeah. All right, so I'm thinking, should we do this by family? And if you don't have a family unit, you can collect with somebody next to you. I'd like groups of five, 4 to 5. Does that work? So you're going to have to get with somebody, Arlene. Okay, so here are the middles. There you go. Oh, wait a second, 1 second. Wait, that's right, see? Oh, yeah, put your sheets away, please. No cheating. Thank you, Duncan. Or whoever said that. Okay, good. Did you get one back there? All right, I don't know who you want to. Okay. Are you? Okay. Okay. Yeah, you guys have family. Do it with family. All right, good. Well, we're going to say go, so don't do it yet. You got one? Okay. You guys need one back here. That good? Yeah, you have too many. You can have two teams back here. Join a team, Bridget. Go with your mommy. Go find your mommy. And the Tuckers are up there too, so go ahead, Rachel. All right. Wait, no starting yet. Okay. We're going to start you, and then the first team to finish, and the second team to finish, we're going to have you put it up on the board, and we're going to see if you got it right, okay? On your mark, get set, go. Okay. Okay, we got one here, two there. Looking. Keep your number, Sarah. You're number one. Luke, you're number two, okay? Three back there. Okay, fourth, Melissa. Keep your number if I've said your name so I don't, because I'm not going to remember. Two. Okay, five with the Collins back there. Six with Rhonda. Seven with the middles. He's like. Cheater, cheater, Dexter Smith. Dexter. All right. Is it done? Done. One, two, three, four. All right, we're going to take the top four teams, Let's see how they did. So team one, team two, team three, team four, if you scored. So you guys come up here and just, we're going to put. No, you were not. I'm afraid not. Sorry. You can help me in a second, though. Okay. All right, come on, Sarah. And Luke, come on up here. Grab your things in the order and bring it up. You're going to put them on the board. And team number three was, who was team number three? Three, and then four is Melissa. That's right. So, and there's, yeah, there's pins there. Good job. Cheer. Go up there. Put them on the board, but you're going to have to wait your turn probably. All right, and if I could have a volunteer, let's see, I need another. Hey, Wyatt and Garrett, can you help me out? Okay. Can you ask, hand these out to anybody who would like one? I think we have enough, but. All right, and here, I'll just take one. Let me take one too. I know. No, just one. So I got one, and Garrett's got one. So you hand out, go around and hand out. The other thing I have, just in case you get really bored, just to help you, I have a crossword puzzle and a missing jumbled word thing. And there's a really cool website if you want to know. You can build your own. So anyhow, but if you'd like this, you can have it. If you don't want it, don't take it. But if it looks like something you want, there they are. I know Sarah does because she's been eyeing these all night, like the sugar cookies. Hey, Daisy. Okay, they're passing around. You just need to wait. Bridget, leave them alone. Okay. Yeah, he wants one of each. They're coming. Here they come. Did you get that whole side? Okay. The Apostles' Creed, yes. Yeah.
We got it.
Woohoo! Man, Lydia, I don't know about the Benin trip now. I mean, I expected a little bit. All right. Okay. That's right. Double check. Let's see. Did you get it right? I believe in Jesus Christ. Conceived, descended. He'll come. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Good job. Okay. You can stand here for a second. Okay, you can go back. Go ahead. Go back. Yeah, there you go. Rachel there. Well, you can. I can get you more at home, but there you go. You're not going to do it right now. No, you don't have to put them all the way. Just go at an angle, big guy. Just kind of go at an angle. I figured as much. Did you get them all? Awesome. Did you guys get some? There you are. Does she want this one too? Okay. All right. So team number one definitely got it. Team number two is. This is three here, right? Name two. Believe in God, Father. Ascended, living, dead, Holy Spirit, forgive. Good. Just one, Riley, just do one. Okay. Don't worry about it, just do one. That's fine. Yeah, go ahead. Push. There you go. job. I know. Abba Father, right? So, wait, you're going to have to, I got to keep on. All right, we'll figure out the winner. We'll so it looks like teams 1 and 3 definitely got it right. 4 got it right. I suspect that number 2. So afterwards, all the kids of these teams, you can have a cookie. Okay, but just, I'm not going to. I've got 5 sugar cookies. 5 star-shaped sugar cookies. I thought I had 12, Sid. No. There's 11 here. There's more in the back. There's 11. So you get it in a few minutes. Not yet. I'm not having cookies being eaten in this room. We are grateful for the people who clean this church building. It's amazing. They, like Dexter and Carol, I mean, Dexter took the time with an iron to get all the wax from our Christmas Eve service off. So, you know, these are the kind of things that happen, and we just walk in and we don't even realize these things. So thank you very much. And the mopping and the sweeping that takes place, and so no, there will not be any food in this room. All right, let's move on. Thank you, Riley. So if we look at the beginning, all the kids are paying attention, right? Because you got to keep your eyes open because there's some things that are coming. The first part, now I have up here on the board, I believe in one God from the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed went a little bit deeper. The Apostles' Creed said, I believe in God. And then about 200 years later, they're like, you know, we need to specify this a little bit more. So they believe in one God. And then they're going to start developing something called the Trinity, which we'll get into. Oh, trust me, we will get there. But Scripture, and it's interesting that I pointed out last Sunday, is that it's interesting because these creeds begin with I believe, not I know. Knowledge and belief are two different things. Scripture says in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. So the question comes, do you believe? It has to be a belief. Belief is so much different. As I said last Sunday, you know, how many people know what the speed limit is? How many people actually follow the speed limit? Knowledge and belief. There's a man named R. Bolton. I think it's Rich. Belief is not merely an idea that the mind possesses. It is an idea that possesses the mind. And beliefs actually impact behavior. If I believe something, I'm going to act in that way. It goes from my head to my heart to my hands. And I do what I believe. We require the knowledge is what we're going through, sermons on Sunday and Bible studies and all that kind of stuff inform your knowledge, but that knowledge is not what saves you. It's a belief. It's a faith. Depends on some people. I mean, because if I have to first teach you something, then you believe it, then you act it, right? You didn't believe in Jesus until I first taught you about Jesus. That knowledge of who God was or who Jesus is, that knowledge came into your head, and then your heart responded to it, and then you believed. Now, that belief also does spur a pursuit of knowledge. It does. Totally agree, and that's what I'm saying, exactly. So I think we first begin with informing people, but then that knowledge has to go to the heart, because if the heart's not here, it doesn't matter what you know. The greatest distance between is between the head and the heart. And the heart, that belief, is what shapes our actions, not this. So many people just know something, but they don't do it. But we inform, we tell people about Jesus, and then as they hear about Jesus, or they hear about the great things, or how much God loves us, and that belief comes into our heart, it spurs out the action, like you're saying, because we're saved by faith. We're saved out of that heart knowledge. Exactly. Heart knowledge. So, then we move into this. So, belief is like a balloon. Okay, kids? Everybody there with a balloon? Oh, I got balloons. See, my kids have been saying, when are we going to get the balloons? Balloons, I know. It doesn't get any better. So, belief is what goes into your heart. And the thing is if you notice, balloons are empty without anything, right? And it's interesting because I have this next screen up here. Has you ever noticed how it's hard to blow up a balloon? Blowing up balloons can be very difficult because of the elasticity of the balloon itself and also because of the opposing atmospheric pressure. And if you've ever seen little kids try to blow a balloon, it's really funny, isn't it? Because they sit there and they huff and they puff on it because sometimes their lungs aren't big enough to get on there. But what I want to touch on real quickly is that this balloon, if you will, has to be filled with your faith, with your belief. Now, when we're young kids, how many times has a young kid turned to dad and said, I can't blow it up, dad, blow it up for me, right? Are you laughing at me? It has to be a faith of your own faith, of you filling that faith, your belief. It has to be your belief. I mean, I've made that quote so many times about you going to McDonald's doesn't make you a, you know, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. So many people think, I'm a Christian because my parents are Christians. I'm a Christian because I go to church every Sunday. You have to put that faith and that belief in your own heart. It has to be your faith, your belief. And it has to come by blowing, right? Oops. And that happens sometimes, doesn't it? You know, I mean, sometimes we're going through life and we read our Bible, we pray, and that faith starts growing and we start believing in what God can do, and then something happens and the air leaks out. But the cool thing is we have to put it back in, right? Oh my gosh, I can't do it. Now, I have back here, which my daughter has already noticed. Whoa, hello. Ta-da! What you put into your faith or what makes up your faith can make a big difference, right, kids? Because if you blow into your balloon, I could give a balloon to Wyatt, and I'm going to in a minute, but can you make it float like this? No. But you know what? With God, nothing is impossible. You did tell me it was helium. You're right. Look at that. So I have some balloons for kids. So take them, hand them out, Mr. Wyatt. But when we blow this balloon up, you're fighting a force to get the air in. And when we start studying about God and learning about God, you're going to be fighting different false beliefs. One of the things that we have in Genesis chapter 1 was talks about in the beginning of God created the heavens and the earth. And that word God there is Elohim, which is this idea of plural. And this is an old, old shield back from the Athanasian day, and who can read it? It's in Latin, right? If you can read French, you can practically read it as well. This is from the Athanasian Creed. Whoever wills to be in a state of salvation, okay, this is Athanasius again, whoever wills to be in a state of salvation before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith. Now, the Catholic is the universal, the church faith. That's not the Roman Catholic faith. Please get me on that. The Catholic faith is that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance, for there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, another of the Holy Spirit, but the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Now, do you understand why I didn't give you handouts of the Athanasian Creed? Because that's just the first few sentences of the second paragraph. But the idea is it's extremely important as we start beginning to believe in God that we understand that all parts of the Godhead are God. And if you'll see up there, it says the Father is not the Son is not the Holy Spirit, who is not the Father, but the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Is that it? Wow. Leftovers. So when we begin to, every one of us has a balloon, if you will. And as we live our life and we study the Word and we start hearing about God, we begin to fill our heart with faith. Now, if we're really young in the faith, what we do is we turn to somebody who's older and say, could you blow it up for me? And for a while, that's really cool. And it works and it's cute, right? What? right? And so mom and dad say, okay, here you go. And, you know, and we've learned, right? Now, thankfully, I just want to let you know that the balloon of your heart and God does not pop, okay? There is a point that the elasticity of this balloon will not go any further. But in God, anything is possible. But as we go on time, we need to learn to teach our children. Guys, Rachel and everybody, you guys listening? You need to learn to be able to fill this balloon on your own. You need to learn how to read the Bible. You need to learn how to know who God is, who Jesus is, because down the road, when all of a sudden you're facing a temptation, you can't say, oh, by the faith of my Father, I'm going to succeed. It's your own personal belief. And you have to learn how to fill this balloon with your own faith. What's next? So, I just want to point this out. We talked about this last week. The beginning statement of the our creeds starts contradicting certain beliefs that are very popular in culture today. Atheism. Has anybody ever heard of atheism before? You know, I have this picture up here because I'm just talking about atheism is strictly speaking a belief that there is no God. And so they have the Islamic God and the Jewish God and the Christian God up there. In the future sermon series, you're only going to see me with them throwing away the actual cross. But the idea is atheism says there is no God, but we believe in one God. The second thing that this contradicts is materialism. Materialism is more than just having lots of money and buying things. Materialism is a belief that all that ever existed was material. The belief that there was only material things, and that's all that's ever existed. But we read in Genesis 1, in the beginning was the Word, or I'm sorry, that's John 1. In the beginning, God created. And so God created everything out of nothing. So the Bible is very clear that before there was material things, there was a spiritual being, and his name was God. And this God was in three persons. And he says, hey, let us make man in our image. Let us create these things. And out of nothing appears a sun. Out of nothing appear the stars. Out of nothing appears water. And it's important because materialism wants to teach us that all that ever counts is anything that's material. And so materialism becomes more and more popular. And we'll talk about that more in the future sermon series. But we need to learn how to distinguish these things, because as we're going down the road, and we start understanding what Scripture says, we have to be distinguished between the meerkats and the meerkats, right? And atheism and materialism, they're fairly easy right now, but we're going to get into something called deism and some other faiths that can get kind of confusing. So, belief is not merely an idea that the mind possesses, it's an idea that possesses the mind. Our faith. Our knowledge of who God is and how great God is and how lovely God is and our faith responding to that God change everything we do. And as I said earlier, it's important because God never changes. Get that, guys? Okay. God never changes. And you can navigate your life by who he is, because we can learn all these wonderful things about what he's done for us and who he is. And this enables us to live our life day in, day out, shapes and molds us the way we think and the way we live. Doesn't matter how small your faith is. Jesus tells us in Matthew 17:20, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. There's a guy that traveled 2,750 miles. With store-bought helium balloons. Can you believe that? I forget, 2,750 miles. Floated across Europe. Another guy was trying to cross the Atlantic. I think he failed. I think he lived. They rescued him. But my point being is that when we allow God to come into your heart and you have a belief, even though, you know, we as humans can struggle to put this air in. When you allow God to work in your heart and you begin to have experiences with God, then the weights of this world go away. And they help us to bear up and go above it. And it's amazing what it can do, what your faith, what your belief can do. Because, I mean, look at that. You got a flying car based on a bunch of balloons. So we're going to go to our takeaways, and then we're going to do the communion service. First takeaway is belief is to be personal and public. I like this point. I didn't really make it in the sermon, But we are called to have a very personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but it's not called to be a private relationship with Christ. Our faith with God is a public one as well. That as I believe and as I live my life in accordance to his word and according to what he asks me to do, people will notice. You will be able to encourage people and tell people. And so many people want to say, I have a personal and private faith. Faith is never private. Faith is public. It's personal, but public. Because my faith changes the way I act, changes the way I talk. And if we sincerely believe that people around us are not going to go to heaven unless they have faith as well, then it needs to definitely be public. The next thing is we need to seek to be thoroughly equipped. You know, if you want to go off to college and get the big Swiss Army knife, that'd be awesome. Our beliefs about God are crucial to who we are and who we become and how we live. They mold us, they shape us, they guide our directions. Our God is not like any of the other gods, and we're going to be talking about that a whole lot more in the next few sermons. But it's important that we all understand who God is and what God teaches and what God expects of us. Knowing God permits us to discern truth from deception. And there's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot of isms. As we go through this service sermon, you're going to find a lot of isms in there. So materialism and atheism are the first two. And finally, our faith in a big God makes anything possible. All right, so I'd like to celebrate communion. Communion is a great time for us as a body of Christ to remember what Christ did on this cross. And in the Last Supper, he actually talked about the blood and also his body being a sacrifice. Anybody who believes in Jesus is please invited to join us. We love you. If you have a saving faith or a faith in Jesus Christ, we invite you. If you haven't yet made that decision or you don't think yourself really standing on the faith of Christ, I'd ask you to hold back from taking communion with us. But if you do, and it doesn't matter what church you go to, love to have you join us. So you want to do the song while we're handing out? Or I'm going to invite Kenny and Chris to come up and bless. No, sorry, Marensic. I actually prepared ahead of time this time. We're going to take a few moments. I just invite everybody. We're going to take a moment, and then I'm going to ask Kenny and Chris to bless the hosts. And then afterwards, as the hosts are being handed out, we'll sing a song and hold it until we can all take it together. And then we will close with communion. So let's just take a moment to be quiet. Prepare your heart. If you need to talk to God about your faith or your belief, do. If you want to confess something, feel free. And then I'll kick you.
this sacrifice that Jesus made is utterly the core of where we are. It goes from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to the book of Revelation about how this sacrifice of blood, the sacrifice of that lamb who provides the forgiveness and the sanctification, the justification, and the expiation of our sins. These big words that you read in these books. The idea that just that sin is washed perfectly, taken away so far away, Scripture tells us, that God chooses not to remember our sins, which is incredible. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are removed from us. And it's unbelievable, but it all comes at a very serious price of Jesus Christ. And so, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, sadly, that last night that he was with his disciples, it wasn't just a happy meal. It was actually a sad meal, because one of his disciples ends up betraying him, selling him out, and betraying him with a kiss. But on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you." And then he commanded everyone to eat in remembrance of him. And then afterwards he took the cup, and he said, "This cup represents my blood, the new covenant between man and God, that forgives and washes away the sin, that restores relationship." And again, he said, "Drink in remembrance of me." We have one more song, yes? Sing. I encourage people to sing with some joy. Sing with happiness of what he's done.
Well, okay.
This will do it. And then all the winners of our little thing, I have those cookies, so come get them.
I have any Calypso things or an Irish mug.
Matt, after the song, are you going to say grace?
Yeah, I will say grace.
Okay.
Right after the song.
This should be a fun song. Come all you vagabonds, come all you don't belongs, winners and losers, come people like me. Come all you travelers, die from the journey, come wait a while, stay a while, welcome you'll be. Come all you questioners, looking for answers and searching for reasons and sensing it all. Come all you fallen and come all you broken, find strength for your body and food for your soul. Come to the feast, there is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness, who welcomes us in with the wonder of love and the power of grace. The wonder of love and the power of grace. Come those who worry about houses and money, and all those who don't have a care in the world. From every station and orientation, the helpless, the hopeless, the young and the old. Come all believers and dreamers and schemers, and come all you restless just searching for home. Movers and shakers and givers and takers, the happy, the sad, and the lost and the lone. Come to the feast, there is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness, who welcomes us in with the wonder of love and the power of grace. The wonder of love and the power of grace. Come self-sufficient with wearied ambition, and come those who feel at the end of the road. Fiery debaters and religion haters, accusers, abusers, the hurt and ignored. Come to the feast, there is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness, who welcomes us in with the wonder of love and the power of grace. The wonder of love and the power of grace. The wonder of love and the power of grace.
I can't go that high. All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thanks for the opportunity that we have to meet together, to be together, to learn together. I ask, God, that you would supernaturally just extend and expand our faith, expand our understanding of who you are, and help us to grasp just how wide and how great and how high and how deep is your love for each one of us here. Lord, I pray that we would respond willingly to your call and that we would come to the table. So, Father, as we close the service and we go into our fellowship meal, I pray you bless the food that we're going to partake of. We remember again the nation of Peru, and we pray your blessing on that nation and on the churches that are meeting there and loving on you. And we pray, Father, that you bless the fellowship and the friendship at our table. In your name we pray. Amen.